Thank you for the privilege of being with you today. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. Keep on watching and be ready for Christ's return. Only the Father knows when Jesus will return. You can find this study on abideinchrist.com. ABIDEINCHRIST. Abideinchrist.com. Go to the Bible Studies and Sermons and click on Matthew 24, verse 36. Keep on watching and be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus stated clearly and emphatically that no one knows the day or the hour when he will return except the Heavenly Father. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Matthew chapter 24, verse 36. The return of Jesus Christ is near, even at the door, like a thief in the night. He may come through the door any moment, but let's make it very clear. No one knows that day or hour. History is littered with individuals who think they know more than Jesus Christ. Yesterday was no exception, and there will be more who will come out of the closet before Jesus returns. God the Father did not leave the door ajar for some arrogant Bible student with a calculator or computer or some Bible code through whom to reveal the date of Jesus' return. He emphatically said, "No one knows the day or the hour when I shall return. Only the Father knows, and He has chosen not to reveal the day or the hour." Jesus Christ will return to gather His elect and judge the world. Because we do not know when that time will be, therefore we must be ready. Date fixing is eliminated with Jesus' statement. That day and hour, no one knows. The hour remains until it arrives, and then the cleavage is sudden, absolute, and irreversible. Moreover, no one clearly states the impossibility of any human or angel discovering, by whatever means, when the day and hour of His return. Date fixing is absolutely impossible. No one in the whole human race will ever know ahead of time when Jesus is coming. It is completely out of the realm of human knowledge. Jesus stated, "Not even the angels of heaven know the date or time of Jesus' return." The time of Jesus' coming is not even discussed in heaven. But of that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. The most surprising thought in Jesus' statement that the Son does not even know the timing of His return. Then who is to know? The Father alone knows when Jesus will return. The precise time, no one knows but the Father only. The Greek text of the adjective only is made emphatic. The emphasis of the text is, "But only the Father knows," or "It is only the Father who knows," "But the Father knows and He alone." The comprehensive statement of Jesus makes it explicitly clear that no human being on this earth will ever know the time of Jesus' appearance until every eye shall behold Him. A.T. Robertson said, "It is clear that Jesus has in mind the time of His second coming." He had plainly stated in verse 34 that those events, destruction of Jerusalem, would take place in that generation. He now as pointedly states that no one but the Father knows the day or the hour when these things, the second coming and the end of the world, will come to pass. And then he adds, most people are either indifferent about the second coming or have fanciful schemes or programs about it. Few are really eager and expectant and leave to God the time and the plan. It is useless to set the day and the hour of Christ's coming. It's folly to neglect it. Why do arrogant individuals think they are privy to such intimate knowledge of God the Father? Why is it that they think that they are more righteous than Jesus Christ? Why should they ever think they are more intimate with the Heavenly Father than the one and only unique of a kind Son of God? Jesus said, "But of that day or hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone." Mark chapter 13, verse 32. We are to pray and to watch for His coming. We are commanded to watch continually for the coming of Christ. In the context of Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, Jesus spoke of a series of events that will precede His return. But the precise moment of that great event has not been revealed to anyone. The Father alone knows the time, and in His infinite wisdom, He has chosen not to reveal it. The angels stand in a very close relationship with God the Father and will be associated with Christ's return, but they too do not know the hour of His coming. Now, what the angels do know is this. Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the epochs which the Father has fixed by His own authority." And after He had said these things, He was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while He was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. And they also said, "Men of Galilee, why are you standing looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you watched Him go into heaven." Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. T.R. Glover said, "No day is named that every day may be hallowed by the sense of the possibility of its being the day of His advent." It helps to allow each day to live, to realize that before its close, we may be in the presence of Christ's glory. Jesus will come unexpectedly, we're told in Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 44. Jesus illustrated this with the illustration of Noah's flood. "For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. And so will be the coming of the Son of Man." Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 through 39. Noah was busy building his ark and warning the people of the coming flood in Genesis chapters 5 through 7. Men will not be thinking about His coming when it arrives. They will be preoccupied with their own pursuits of life as in the time of Noah. They refuse to heed the warnings of God. Only those who are prepared will escape the sudden and unexpected destruction. It will be with suddenness that Jesus will appear. What will be the condition of the world when Jesus returns? Jesus and His disciples, writing in the New Testament, made it very clear. There will be total depravity, exceeding wickedness, and even apostasy in the church when He comes back. It will be an evil day, and Jesus will be despised and hated by the vast majority of the people of the world. It will be like the days of Noah. Are you ready for Jesus' coming? Intimate associations will be separated by the unexpected coming of Jesus, we're told in Matthew chapter 24, verses 40 and 41. And furthermore, Jesus said, "Then there will be two men in the field. One will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, and one will be left." Matthew chapter 24, verses 40 and 41. And from this illustration, it's evident there will not be a second chance. Every opportunity to be saved is gone forever. One is taken and the other is left behind. I take these words of Jesus to mean the believer will be taken with Christ at His return. And those individuals who have an intimate personal relationship with Jesus Christ will be separated by the unexpected coming of the Lord. What will you do with Jesus Christ? What is your personal relationship with Jesus? The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ will be clearly manifest. There will be no need of prophets to announce the fact that He has come or invite men to come and see Him. Every eye will behold Him. And then it's too late to believe on Christ as your Savior. The Bible does not teach annihilation or universalism. It does state clearly that mankind has a simple choice. What will you do with Jesus Christ? Your eternal destiny depends upon that personal decision. Not everyone will be saved. You must believe on Jesus Christ or be eternally lost and separated from a holy God in hell. Are you ready for His coming? You can be ready for Jesus' coming even today. Matthew chapter 24 verse 42 tells us in the words of Jesus, "Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming." Be constantly on alert. Keep your eyes open. Keep wide awake. Be watchful or be diligent means to live a sanctified life, consciously aware of the coming judgment. The just will live by faith in Jesus Christ. The true believer is looking forward to the coming of the bridegroom and king. The picture is the coming of our glorious, powerful king, clothed with authority and majesty. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time the night the thief was coming, he would have been on alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think He will. Matthew chapter 24, verses 43 and 44. The figure of the thief is chosen to illustrate the one point of unexpected stealthy approach. The coming of Christ will catch men sunk in spiritual slumber. But there is also the reward for watchfulness. The faithful servant will steadfastly continue to fulfill his call of God to faithful service. You do not know on what day your Lord is coming. He compares himself to a burglar in the night. For you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. And while they're saying peace and safety, and then destruction will come upon them suddenly like the labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. These are the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 2 through 4. Jesus told the church in Sardis, "And so remember what you have received and heard, and keep it and repent. Therefore, if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come." Revelation chapter 3, verse 3. Later, Jesus told John on the island of Patmos, "Behold, I'm coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake and keeps his clothes, and so that he will not walk about naked, and men will not see his shame." Revelation chapter 16, verse 15. The stress of the whole passage in Matthew is, you must be ready for Jesus' coming, because He will come when you do not expect Him. No one knows at what time or during what watch the thief will come. So therefore, keep on watching, be ready. No one can predict when Jesus will come. Jesus admonishes us, be ready, be on the alert. You do not know when the thief will come, but He's coming. Are you prepared in mind and heart? Are you ready for the coming of Jesus Christ? Date setting is mockery of God. Keep in mind the words of the Apostle Peter when he wrote, "You should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior, spoken by your apostles. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following their own lust and saying, Where's the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all continues just as it was from the beginning of creation. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 2 through 4. The current false date setting by the cults only throw more fuel on the fire of mockers of evangelical Christianity. Yes, the day of the Lord will come. It's appointed by God, who is a righteous sovereign God. Why is the Lord patient even with the arrogant who refuse to believe his word? Listen to these words of Peter. But do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that with the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like one day. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, in which the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with intense heat, and the earth and its works will be burned up. And since all these things are to be destroyed in this way, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning, and the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 13. In the context of this great passage in Matthew chapter 24, everything predicted from verse 6 to verse 22 was fulfilled to the letter in connection with the fall of Jerusalem within a generation. And then, having accurately told them these events, Jesus then told them what would be the manner of his coming. From beginning to end of the prophecy, he emphasized the fact that none knew nor could know when that coming would be, but the fact of it was certain. It's like Jesus has been saying, Do not ask me to tell you the date of my coming. God the Father has not revealed it, not even to me. But I'm coming back. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away, are steadfast words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, the world as we know it will come to an end, but the Word will remain for all eternity. He will judge every individual. The Apostle John wrote, And then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1. That day will come. Are you ready for that day? If you were to die today and stand before the Lord God face to face, and he should ask you, Why should I allow you into my heaven? What would you say? What do you think you would say? Your eternal destination depends upon that answer. There is salvation and no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that's been given among men by which we must be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. There are some powerful principles that come out of this passage of Scripture for us today. The precise day when Jesus Christ will return is wholly unrevealed and known only to God the Father. Every intelligent person should underline those words of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one knows and no one can find out the day when Jesus Christ will return. Only God the Father knows that date. All attempts to set dates and times when Jesus will return are in vain. How can sinful man, in his arrogance, think he knows more than the Son of God? There's a definite day on which Christ will come to judge the world. Because he has fixed a day, in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Acts chapter 17, verse 31. But make it very clear, you do not know, and I do not dare to try to find out that day. Only God the Father knows. There is great assurance for the believer, indeed our blessed hope in the coming of Jesus Christ. For this reason I also suffer these things, but I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm convinced that he's able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day, the day of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. What are his faithful servants to be doing until he returns? Well, Jesus said, "This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." Matthew chapter 24, verse 14. I hear all kinds of excuses from people about being involved personally in world missions. There can be no excuse. Make yourself available to the Lord God. Allow him to do what he wants to do in and through you, in order that the world may come to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Our great concern is to be ready when Jesus Christ returns. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. Matthew chapter 24, verse 42. Be ready. That's the emphasis of this whole passage of Scripture. Be ready to give an account when Jesus Christ returns. The Apostle Paul declares vividly for us the next great event in history. Listen carefully to these words of the Apostle Paul. They give us hope, encouragement, and stark warning. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. Are you ready? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're not, let me share with you right now how you can be right with God. God loves you, and he wants you to experience his peace and salvation. He desires for you to have a lasting, intimate, personal love relationship with God the Father. The Bible tells us in the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." John 3:16. Change just one word in this verse of Scripture. "For God so loved Will Pounds." "For God so loved Jorge, Rosita, Juan." Whatever your name is, put your own word, your own name in this passage of Scripture. "For God so loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that if you believe in him, you should not perish, but have eternal life." God loves you so much that he wants his Son, Jesus Christ, who died for you on the cross, to be your Savior. Christ did this by paying the penalty for your sins when he died on the cross and rose from the dead. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 and 8, "For while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Yes, Jesus Christ died for you on that cross. But you know what? We got a big problem. We are separated from God because we choose to disobey Him. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Nothing we can do will get us across the gulf that separates us from the Lord God in His holiness. Good works, church membership, baptism are all short bridges to nowhere. Our problem is serious. We are not capable of saving ourselves. We are so sinful that we cannot reach up to God. He is holy, and we are depraved sinners. You see, that's exactly why God sent His Son to die in our place. God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. God is offering you the free gift of eternal life. It's a gift that was paid for in full by Jesus Christ when He died in your place on the cross. And you can do nothing to merit it or earn it. To try to pay for it is an insult to the grace of God. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God and not a result of work, so that no one may boast. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Perhaps you're asking yourself, well, how can we be saved then? What must I do to be saved? How can I receive the gift of eternal life? Well, the Bible is very clear. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the only demand that God states in the Scriptures. It's not psyching yourself up to some emotional experience. We're saved by simple faith in Jesus Christ. We take God at His own word when He says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. You know everything you need to know in order to be saved. And take God at His word and trust Jesus Christ right now as your own personal Savior. Will you turn from your sins and unbelief and by faith receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? You can use the following prayer if it comes from your heart. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner, and I know that I cannot save myself. I now believe that Jesus Christ died in my place on the cross in order to forgive me of my sins. I know that Christ rose from the dead and lives today, and I confess my sin to you, and I repent and I put my faith in you to save me. I want you to save me right now for all eternity. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life. Amen. Some people have great emotions of peace and joy and happiness. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, we're told in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. And there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So we'll go back to this most basic, fundamental question of all. What is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Eternity depends upon that decision for Jesus Christ. Yes, Christ may come today, even before this radio program is over. What is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Have you believed on Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Right now, this very moment, you can believe on Him and have the free gift of eternal life. May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today.